The views expressed on this show by guests and the hosts on issues outside of the 9/11 controlled demolition evidence are the opinions of those individuals alone and do not necessarily reflect those of architects and engineers for 9/11 truth.
Welcome to 9/11 Freefall. I'm the host, Andy Steele. So I want to use some airtime, especially as we're getting underway with our outreach on the Halsey Report and the NIST request for correction, all the great things that are happening here at AE 9/11 Truth. I want to spotlight some of the unsung heroes at this organization, the volunteers who are behind the scenes helping us do what we do. It's not just two or three people. It's a lot of people, and a lot of them are really great and do a lot of excellent work for us. One of them is here today, Josh Willis. Now, Josh is a volunteer with AE 9/11 Truth, as I mentioned. He's the data collection team leader, and he's the guy I turn to when we need something really difficult done. We're going to be learning more about him on the show today. Josh, welcome to 9/11 Freefall.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm glad to get invited to do this.
So, Josh, tell our audience more about yourself and your life.
Well, I have lived in Central Texas my whole life, just outside of Austin, a small community. I work for myself. I do build on your lot custom home building with a small team here, and run a small real estate leasing team as well. And you know, I've been doing that, you know, ever since I've been out of high school. And I lived out in the hill country with my wife and my 5-year-old daughter. That's about it. We just really love life here in Central Texas.
Texas is a great state. I love going through there. It seems more free to me. Now, I haven't done a comparison state by state of the different liberties that you have each place, but it just seems like I can do more things when I'm going through Texas. And it's very nice. The people are very nice down there. I always enjoy going through it. So let's get to 9/11. Obviously, you found our way into our organization at some point. Let's start off with where you were on the day of 9/11. I'm always interested in hearing this story. Where were you? How did you find out what was happening?
So I was 21 years old, or actually I was about to turn 21 years old, and I was going to college and working for my father in Austin. And I woke up the morning of 9/11, and my roommates told me to come see what was on TV. And, you know, we were, like everyone else, we were glued to the TV for the rest of the day and for quite a while after that, till, you know, wondering what all was going on. And, you know, I can remember it just like it was yesterday, what it felt like to walk into my living room and see that on the TV. It was one of the most shocking things of my life.
Yeah, I was actually around the same age. I don't remember the exact year. I'm sure if I did the math, I could figure it out. You know, around our age now, everything starts blending together. But I can remember seeing those towers come down, and I've heard people on the show say that, you know, they didn't believe it or they had some kind of reaction. And, you know, for me, it's almost like my memory of that is like watching myself on television. I don't even remember what I thought. It was just it happened, and I guess you could call it shock or something. But I didn't immediately react. I didn't think anything. I was just sort of glued to the set, following it step by step. What did you think when you saw the towers came down?
Well, I thought that the rantings of a local lunatic in Austin might actually turn out to be the truth. Because I, you know, for a few years before that, you know, every once in a while when my friends and I were sitting around having drinks at the house, and we crossed the access channel and saw Alex Jones on there ranting about, you know, the Oklahoma City bombings and things of, you know, things of that nature, the original World Trade Center bombings and all the things that he used to point out prior to 9/11, as far as trying to say that there was some type of, you know, initiative among the American power structure to, you know, bring in false flags and bring in a false enemy of terrorism. And when I used to watch those before 9/11, I was like, this guy is absolutely nuts. There is no way that could be the case. But at the same time, you know, after watching a few shows, I saw that he was actually pointing out some stuff that was like really, really coincidental, especially about like the circumstances around Timothy McVeigh with the Oklahoma City bombing, and also some stuff about the first World Trade Center bombs that were put in the basement before 9/11. And, you know, so whenever 9/11 happened, and I saw that happening, on the first thing I thought is, what is that crazy lunatic saying about this? So I flipped over to his to his website, or I can't remember his website or his show, and that day he was saying, these towers are falling at free fall speed. Look at Building 7. Whenever he pointed that out to me, you know, from day one, you know, I believed it, because, you know, he was, you know, highlighting Building 7. And so, you know, that's what really shaped my original opinions about what happened that day, is just him highlighting those facts for me on the very first day that it happened. And from that point forward, you know, a month later, I went down and to the Alamo Draft House, or maybe it was a month later. It wasn't long after that. Alex was doing some screenings of his crazy documentaries he used to do. And I went down there and, you know, watched the screenings downtown Austin at the Draft House. I went up and spoke with Alex afterwards. And I volunteered to work for him at the time, you know. And, you know, we had a good discussion with him. At the time, it was just him and his wife. You know, he wasn't very big, and he said he didn't need volunteers. And, you know, I was moved enough by it to want to go out and volunteer for the only person that was, you know, pointing me in the direction of the truth at the time. And ever since then, you know, I've followed the 9/11 truth movement, you know, very diligently, and, you know, always wanted to find my way to be able to get involved. And so, you know, after some of the conflicts that have, and the things that have come up in the news in the last 4 years have, you know, reinvigorated my spirit about, you know, wanting to do something to help get this information out to people, because of the implications it's continuing to have on society, and that it will continue to have on society for, you know, generations to come. And that, you know, knowing that, seeing the picture that way, I can't go by and not do something about it. So, you know, as I told Richard, whenever I volunteered with him at that event in College Station, you know, I've committed myself to volunteering for this organization and for the 9/11 Truth Movement for the rest of my life. Because without doing something, there's a hole in me that I can't fill, because that's too big of a problem to not want to take action.
That is the calling of our generation, whether most members of our generation know it or not. And it's not just our generation, it's the ones that preceded it, the ones that follow it. I mean, it is the big issue of our times, and so many great people are coming to the forefront and doing whatever they can. As I said, you are one of them. Now, I am curious, because I remember those times. I remember what the climate was like. I wasn't a truther, but I remember my reaction when the first time I saw anything that could be related to 9/11 truth was sent to me a few days after September 11th. And I didn't get mad, but I kind of dismissed it and laughed it off, saying there were bombs in the building. You know, now look where we are. Look where I am. But the climate was not very conducive to questioning the official narrative. So did you talk to friends and other people that you were close to about this? If so, what were their reactions?
Virtually no one that is among my friends and family was willing to really even consider that, right? And it wouldn't. So, I mean, I talked to all of them. You know, it's impossible not to when you see something that scary and deceitful, about the biggest deception maybe in world history, and that, you know, the implications of that deception, you know, how radically that has to shift somebody's worldview, I think for a long time prevented a lot of people that from really considering that as an option. Because once you say it, the immediate first thing that I always saw was that they just go straight to what the implications of that means and go, that can't be true. And so it doesn't matter that you can look at it and it's as crystal clear as it can be that it's a controlled demolition on Building 7. And after looking at that, that also the Twin Towers were, that people can't even acknowledge something that is that crystal clear because of the block of how radical of a shift there in their worldview would be necessary to do that. It's not even a consideration. And so that's always kind of how I saw where the block was between my family members, my friends, and anybody else that I've, you know, talked to this about. Their resistance was mainly based on that and not whether or not they were actually looking at the facts. You know,
I can remember one of the first thoughts I had was, well, why would the government do that to itself? They looked bad that they let this happen. It seems counterproductive, to put it lightly, to do this, because this whole concept of everything that I have learned over the past over a decade was not in my brain, and I would say it wasn't in the brain of most people at that time. Now, I feel that it is in the brain of people, whether they want to admit it or not, whether or not they want to acknowledge any of this evidence or even deal with this issue, the concept that we are being lied to, that the perpetrators were not who we've been told on television, is at least present as something that exists out there, the idea of false flag terror and all of this. I feel that way. Do you feel that society, and I want to hear your opinion on what I just said, but do you feel that society has come around more in that respect now with what we're seeing, with a lot more questioning, a lot more protests when things happen, particularly now with the clampdown on civil liberties as a result of the pandemic and all that? I mean, do you think we've progressed at all?
I think that we've progressed a tremendous amount from that day. I mean, I've seen some studies that say that, you know, in the ballpark of half of people in America, and maybe more than that worldwide, don't believe the official story. And that is, you know, very, very significant percentage of not just in the United States, but worldwide, believes that, you know, people within the American power structure or the American power structure itself was truly the ones that were responsible for and orchestrated the event. And so I feel like I always saw the main catalyst that really, you know, started that as the we're going into Iraq over weapons of mass destruction afterwards, and that you know, that between that and the abundance of information and obvious circumstantial evidence that, you know, it was just you know, there was a pre-planned war and a pre-planned agenda that was implemented right after it, and, you know, that it was a false flag. And so, you know, I definitely think there's a lot more, I think it's clear that there's a lot more support now for it. It's just curious to me why there's not more support for the 9/11 truth movement when that many people don't believe it.
Right. Seeing a lot of pushback on what's going on right now, because things are affecting people at home. I mean, you can't go to the supermarket without fear of somebody trying to ticket you or all this nonsense, or you might be out of work. I mean, this thing is actually affecting you at home. I mean, during Vietnam, people were being drafted to go fight. That was something that could definitely happen to you. And I feel that when things affect you more closely, more personally, that's when you start to see mass protests. Now, 9/11 was something that affected our world, but to regular people, it seems more distant in a way. Like, it happened on television for the majority of the country, and even though we've lost our civil liberties, it's been like a boiling frog effect. It's just kind of happened over time. So the shock initiated the clampdown on our rights here in this country and changing our world, but we were still in shock. And then when we started to realize the truth about it, these things were already in place and a part of our life. So it's very difficult to get people to recognize how 9/11 truth can change our world even now, 19 years after it happened. But it's important to do that outreach. And I'll tell you what, if we could send Richard or any of the engineers in Project Due Diligence to all of the engineers in the country to personally talk to them, if we could do that and had the money for that, we would do it, but we can't. So we got to find other ways to reach them. And Josh is at the forefront of doing that. So I want our audience to know exactly what you do here. Talk about some of the work that you do as head of the data collection team.
So one of the more recent projects that I did was collecting all of the contact information for all of the civil and mechanical engineering professors in the country and the material sciences, I believe, professors in the country. And we were doing that mainly to get mailing addresses so that the results of the Building 7 study could be sent out to them, and that they could request, for people to participate in peer reviewing the study. So that was probably the largest data collection project that I've done. And but there's been others as well. The project due diligence that Roland Engel heads up, where he goes to all the chapters of that he can get meetings with of American Society for Civil Engineers. And they go to those, they'll go to a meeting of the local chapter and speak to people about, do a training session for engineers on, the Building 7, essentially, at least at the one I went to. And so I've collected all of the contact info for, all the leadership of the local ASCE chapters and the all the college ASCE chapters as well, so that they have what they need to contact them and to try to set up those events.
Absolutely, and that's a big thing that is important to us as student outreach, and we're stepping up our efforts. We've got a few students who are volunteers now, but reaching out to the engineering students in particular is very important, because I tend to think that young people are open-minded, or at least they were when we went to college. I don't know what's going on now on the campuses, but, they tend to be more open-minded. They tend to look for very unique angles, especially to their careers. I mean, at the very least, they might just find it interesting to hear what all these quote-unquote 9/11 conspiracy theorists have to say. So we are going to be reaching out to them and trying to set up presentations virtually for Roland Engel. And actually, I'll be getting to work on that later in the afternoon based off of the list that Josh gave me here. And I know how much hard work it is, because when I first joined the staff here at 8911 Truth, we did not have a data collection team, so this stuff was done by myself, and I can remember it'd be like 8 hours. And towards the end of it, it's like that part of the Rocky fight where the music slows down and it goes into this hazy slow motion. I mean, your brain kind of numbs over gathering all of this information. But in the end, when you got this big list and all these contacts, it is so well worth it. And at least you've presented them the information. At least you've done your work to try to get it to them. Now the ball is in their court. And this is good outreach, too, because we have woken up people as a result of this. Now, you did mention that you were at an event over, I think, College Station, Texas, and you helped Richard out down there. Talk about that event and some of the work you did with Richard.
So I actually mainly just sold merchandise and spoke with people that came up to the merchandise table while I was there. It was I can't remember the name of the festival, but there were a lot of great speakers that were all related to the Liberty Movement, as Ron Paul would put it, or phrase it. And, and Richard was one of the main speakers there. And I think it was the third year they did that event. And I know we didn't get a lot of people at the event, but I know they got a lot of viewership online of it, for sure. So, I thought it was a really well-done event.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, this is the kind of stuff, the stuff that Josh is doing, the selling the merchandise, the gathering the data, these are some of the most important jobs. And at first glance, people might say, it's just work. Well, yeah, that's the most important thing. I mean, success in anything is about 90% perspiration, 10% inspiration, or whatever the phrase is. But you can have the greatest idea in the world, but if you don't do the work to implement it, then it means nothing. You can have all the talent in the world. Maybe a great orator, and you can wow the crowds with your wonderful voice and your elegant speeches, but at the same time, if you don't get to the podium, then it's all for nothing. Well, the work that we do, it is possible to reach every ASCE member. it is possible to reach out to AIA and all these people. I mean, these organizations don't cooperate with us. We have to do most of the work ourselves, but it requires doing that work. So there is no job here that is small. There is no job that is unimportant. It is all important. And this is the kind of volunteer work that I encourage here. You know, we can have all the greatest ideas in the world, but when you can sit down and get the work done and make it possible for some guy who has never heard of this issue before to be able to read the Halsey report, then that is good work. Now, I want to get your opinion on this, because we've been talking about this Halsey report for years. We've been waiting for this, and it finally came out. It's out now. We're going to be delivering it to professors, as I said. In your view, how is this a game changer?
Well, I mean, until now, the only evidence that we've had is the, you know, evidence that, you know, professionals have pointed out to us through, you know, organizations like A for 9/11 Truth, where can point out very obvious, you know, facts about the collapses of Building 7. But, you know, that's enough to, you know, change certain people's, a lot of people's opinions, but it's not really enough to, you know, get the attention of the academic community, where information and truth truly disseminates from, you know, the academic elite, and that this study is what can get their attention and finally give anybody in academia that wants to support this movement something solid that they can point to as a basis of their viewpoint and what their opinion is on what happened on that day. And so I think it's great that we now have, you know, a very professionally done scientific study that points out, you know, pretty much all the same facts that people have been pointing out since day one, but just in the most, you know, professional manner possible. So I think it's, you know, probably the biggest step that has been taken in the entire 9/11 truth movement is beginning this study to happen. And I really hope that we can raise money again for 2, 3, 4 more of these studies to where, you know, we can have an array of American colleges that have done studies and all come to similar conclusions, or, you know, the same basic ultimate conclusion, because that's the type of credible information that can really, you know, help to create that groundswell that Richard's looking for, to, you know, for people to get behind the petition calling for a new investigation and the ultimate goal of getting that investigation.
It would be great. I don't know what's going to happen, but it would be great if other colleges were inspired to look into this themselves too, and putting this further backed up into the corner. So we are going to be doing that outreach, as I said. Now, I'm curious on your thoughts about this. I've thought about this a lot. I've told this story on this show many years ago, as I was visiting my congressman as part of a outreach effort back, I think it was like 2011 or something, where we were having volunteers go to congressional offices and ask them to write a letter to NIST requesting that NIST test the dust for the presence of nanothermite. And I remember, you know, running around before my appointment the day before, and, you know, part of it was getting a haircut, and I wanted to get a new tie, and I'm acting like I'm going on a job interview, and it just occurred to me while I'm sitting in the barber chair looking at myself in the mirror that I'm going through all of this work and sweat and bullets to present myself well, to ask a guy to do his job. I'm doing his job. You know, he should be working for me. It's just a really interesting situation we find ourselves here in America. So I never gotten your opinion on this, Josh. What's your take on the fact that we have to do all of this work because corporate media, professional organizations, members of Congress won't do their due diligence, won't step up to the plate and look at what is right in front of them when it comes to the towers on 9/11?
And it's kind of always been the only way to stand up to tyranny is to, you know, for the common person to organize and disseminate the factual information that contradicts the lies that governments have been telling us since the dawn of time. And, you know, pretty well known that the American power structure, you know, controls the majority of politicians. And they, you know, really, you know, there's Harvard studies that show that politicians, you know, in general represent the interest of the elite about 99% of the time in the way they vote, and represent the interests of the American public only in their campaigns. And so to stand up to that type of system really takes, you know, an overwhelming amount of pressure from the general public that says that's not good enough for us and we don't accept that. And it's sad that our world is that way, but that's just, it's been a truth in this world since the beginning of time. So, you know, it's just gonna, I don't know how long it'll take, but I pray that one day there will be a major support amongst our politicians. In some way we can break that barrier and those chains that bind them and the money that supports them, and actually get some traction on this in our government, which, you know, sometimes, you know, seems impossible considering the circumstances. And I really wish that there was a way to, you know, reinvigorate the petition that AE 9/11 Truth has, that's, you know, calling for a new investigation into the events of 9/11. I know there was a lot of, you know, in the early years, y'all had a lot of momentum in getting people to sign it. It just seems to me like it's kind of gone stagnant with how many people are actually continuing to sign that. And so, you know, I feel like maybe now that we have the Building 7 study, you know, the most powerful piece of factual data that the 9/11 Truth Movement's ever had, with that combined with the grand jury investigation that's been ongoing, and you know, having the draft legislation of the Bobby McElvain Act, those three things all together, that I wish would find a way to make a major push to get more signatures on that, and not just from architects and engineers, primarily just from the general public, because if half of America doesn't believe the real story, why can't we get millions of signatures on the petition for a new investigation? You know,
exactly. I mean, part of it is awareness that they can do this, which we do our best to let people know we're here, that we have this petition. And of course, part of it is peer pressure and inertia, just sitting down and doing it. It's not a difficult process to fill it out. I mean, I did it back in 2010 or something, and it wasn't that hard. So anyone can do it, and anybody can promote it out there. If you have an inbox and an email address, you can send it to your friends, tell them to view it, ask them to sign it, put it up on Facebook. There's so many different ways. And our last few minutes, Josh, just if somebody doesn't have the time to formally volunteer, what are some of the things that people can do, in your view, to spread awareness of this issue?
To write their congressman and to present to them the Building 7 study, and to also present to them the draft legislation for the Bobby McElvain Act, and to ask them to consider to read it, and to consider calling for a new investigation, or at the very least to consider speaking with the members of AE 9/11 Truth, the leadership, to get a better understanding of the facts and the data that supports our stance on it.
Absolutely. And we have an outreach going on right now, setting up phone meetings with congressmen. So if you have not taken those efforts, and let us know at congress@ae911truth.org, do so today. It's the best time for it, because they're all locked inside, but there's a lot of them are still taking meetings over the phone. Josh Willis, thank you for coming on 9/11 Freefall.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
This program is on every Thursday night on No Lies Radio at 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific, and every other Sunday night on BBS Radio at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. You can also keep track of the archives by going to 911freefall.com. This is Andy Steele. Have a great week. Good luck.